Which universe will you choose today?
My name's Clancy.
Clancy!
Could I interview you for my space cast? Are you worried because it seems like we're all about to die?
Is that a yes?
What does death look like to you?
I think we need to simplify this.
Your life that you thought was real was just a dream.
Holy shit. Are you a metaphor?
Stop fighting it. Face the void.
Just be here now.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Ozzy Wozop. We're going to discuss Midnight Gospel, the show on Netflix. You've seen it by now. I've given you a year because it dropped April 20th, 2020. 420. Just noticed that. Of 2020. And I watched it back then. However, I was very busy researching the Jabby Stabbies, the Wuhan flu, all those things. I was very busy, and this got buried in the bottom of the queue. It's going to be a two-parter. I've got to warn you ahead of time. Why? Well, it's because I'm busy, okay? I'm busy. I'm writing my... sometimes when you're writing, you get writer's block. And I had that for a while, and the fog is lifted. The good Lord above is blessing me with the focus. I'm writing my second book, User Illusion 2, the alien book. I want to get this bad boy out ASAP, preferably by June. We'll see, before the big disclosure stuff that's going to be popping off. We want to get that alien hot girl summer. But yeah, this is going to be a two-parter due to lack of time, because there's a lot of content to get through here, okay? I actually had to watch this a second time through. And I've got a lot of information here, so I got to break it up into two parts. I'm very sorry. Some people like the two-parters. You know, I advocate for two-parters. I don't like a four-hour movie. Give me two-hour movies. So you're going to join me on my journey. But I have a lot of notes. And what happened was I was doing a show on Rockfin. I do Inside the Mind of Conspiracy Theorists. I do that a bit live, maybe once a month. And someone asked me about it, and I thought, I got to do it. I've been telling you guys more than a few times that I would cover this Midnight Gospel series, and today's the day we do it. So I rewatched it. Yes, I rewatched the whole series again. It's actually better the second time, if you can believe that. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Duncan Trussell, Illuminate, Confirm, talk about the show and all the ideas. Mainly, we're going to focus on just a couple episodes, really, or we're going to deep dive into the Buddhism aspect, the meditation, Damien Eccles, the magic, oh my God, the occult history, Manly P. Hall, they're all here. The whole gang is here. But first, I got to sell you something. What can I sell you? I don't know what to sell you. You got till May 1st to sign up for the VIP section. That's like my version of Patreon. In case I get the boot from Patreon someday, I want the infrastructure in place for a seamless transition so you never go without your bonus episodes or your ad-free episodes. You don't have to do it. But it's IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit that VIP link. You'll read all about all the different support platforms. I compare them all because I have so many. I got Rockfin, I got Patreon, and I got the VIP. You can compare the three. But the point I'm getting across, by May 1st, you got to sign up to get 20% off for 3 months. Use promo code HOTGIRLSUMMER. That's promo code HOTGIRLSUMMER. Go ahead and sign up. Check it out. See what you think. You'll get all the bonus episodes I talk about. You'll get all those Eyes Wide Shut episodes. My God, I dropped three bonus Eyes Wide Shut episodes in April alone. I got another one coming out yet. The Mask of the Red Death. It's not a bonus. That one's going to go in the free feed for the free feed losers. So you can check that out for free. Now, I joke. Don't get offended. Lots of very offended people. I read comments and reviews. Lots of people get very triggered by the way I talk, and I'm very sorry. Let's get into Midnight Gospel. What is it? Well, there's this guy named Duncan Trussell, And to be honest, I don't know his background, really. I know he's kind of a famous dude, right? He is a stand-up comic. I don't really follow him. I know he was sort of came up with Joe Rogan on some levels. Don't ask me what their relationship is. I don't know. But yeah, he is plugged into like Sam Tripoli and Joe Rogan and that real cool SoCal comedian vibe. And he had this show on Netflix called Midnight Gospel, and it's a series of episodes, very short, like 20 minutes a piece, I think, roughly. And it's illustrated. It's very cool. It's very entertaining and very original. The illustrations remind me of the Beatles' Yellow Submarine artwork. And what it is, basically, it's a podcast overlaid on a cartoon that simultaneously is running an interview with a guest while playing a story for you to watch with your eyeballs. Sometimes they break out into chorus. It's very bizarre. It's very, like, ADD-ish. It's, like, kind of hard to follow sometimes because you're like, what's going on? So, basically, I think he got real high when he came up with this idea. But it's kind of brilliant, honestly. That being said, I am not going to talk about the fictional storylines of the episodes. I'm really just here to talk about some of the occult ideas because there's very powerful ideas in here. And you can be the judge as to whether or not you want to illuminate, confirm the show or not. But there's lots of big names, big guests on the show. Dr. Drew Pinsky, Natasha Leggero, Damian Eccles, maybe you've heard of him. Pauly Shore from the comedy store Bloodline there. His mom, I think it was his mom, started the comedy store in LA. Jason Louv. And hell, even Ram Dass shows up for a second. And the show, the cartoon, is about this guy named Clancy, who's voiced by Duncan Trussell, who we could argue that's Duncan's avatar on some levels. And in the cartoon, he's interfacing with this universal simulator, which is a triangle of manifestation, by the way. And it kind of... it's very bizarre. He chooses an avatar on the computer. This avatar is used to traverse to new worlds. He shoves his head in a big vagina and off he goes into some other world using this avatar. And then when he's ready to leave that world, he blows a trumpet. The third eye opens, bada bing, bada boom. The third eye is the old brow chakra, the pineal gland, the all-seeing eye, the horns of Moloch, the two-petaled horns of Moloch. Oh my goodness. Side note, you know who Nick Hinton is, right? He's a researcher. And I've had some weird, weird synchronicities with Duncan Trussell and Nick Hinton lately. I hit Nick up. I think I listened to him. I think it was on Higher Side Chats. I don't remember where I heard it. And I was like, oh, this guy, he's plugged into the same stuff I'm looking at with like aliens and AI and all that digital consciousness stuff. So I followed him on the Twitter. We've been in communication. We're going to get him on the show. I got to read his books, though. So I got to read his books. But first, I got to finish writing my book. I'm busy. I'm busy, busy, busy. So hopefully by the end of summer, I'll get Nick on the show. And then boom, next thing you know, I get my podcast. I subscribe to Duncan Trussell's podcast, although I don't listen to podcasts too much anymore like I used to. And I see it's my man, Nick Hinton. I said, holy crap. Big celebrity, big Hollywood celebrity now. Look at him go. Shout out, Nick Hinton. But on the show, on the Duncan Trussell podcast with Nick, which I recommend, if you like my stuff, you're going to like Nick Hinton too. Because he's researching in the same areas that I'm researching in. We'll compare notes here in a few months when I get him on the show. But they are talking about extended intelligences, which is very fascinating. It's the idea that aliens can talk to us through this electromagnetic substrate, through the internet, which is very curious, because that's kind of what you see on this show, sort of, in a way, kind of, in the sense that you've got this entity, who's our main character, Clancy. You got Clancy who's able to choose an electronic avatar in order to I don't know, sort of fuse his consciousness into and traverse to a new world? Which is very trippy, right? I mean, that's very much along the lines of the idea I'm trying to sort of convey in my first Alien book, and I will with the second one when I get it done. Like, this idea that, like, I don't think these are biological entities from another planet. I think these, I mean, and the extended intelligence idea could be it, right? It could be the main idea. But I don't want to harp on that too long. But when you watch this show, it sort of puts you in an altered state, kind of like Alice in Wonderland. When you watch it, it's, especially as a child, an impressionable child, your imagination runs wild. You're seeing all this imagery, and it's very fascinating, and it's all new and wacky. And it's kind of how this show is. And you want to talk about illuminate confirmed symbolism? My God. Tons and tons and tons of symbolism embedded in this thing. Because I think, you know, Duncan Trussell, he knows a thing or two listening to his podcast. Like, he knows a thing or two about this stuff. Just watch the first episode and you'll see. We got the triangles and the all-seeing eye, the number 23, which is your Discordian stuff. Harry Potter's, what's that called? The little triangle with a circle in it. The Caduceus. The eight-pointed chaos magic star. I mean, this is like, it's all over the place. And in some ways, usually I pull out those images and provide them on the Instagram. At Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. But I didn't do that here because it's just too much. It's too much. You want to look at 100 images? You already know what it is. It's like pointless to screenshot them all. But I'll have a few. I'll put a few winners on there. But as far as the show, in some ways, it's almost easier to listen to it than it is to watch it. If you're interested in the conversation, the podcast element, which in this new world, they are called spacecasts, not podcasts. But there you go. That's the setup for the whole show, the whole series. It's the same formula each episode, different topic, different guest. Episode one. He's talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky. And basically, to sum up the whole episode, they're talking about like meditation and medication. Now, Dr. Drew, he's very controversial, this guy. I don't know if you know that. I like Dr. Drew. He seems like a good dude. He was on the Jersey Shore a couple weeks ago. How bad of a guy can he be, right? he got canceled. He got canceled in the past. He's been canceled already. Back in 2016 when Trump and Clinton were running for president, he was questioning her health. And he was on CNN and they canceled his ass. You know, because they're totally no bias there, right?
Okay.
He also, if you recall, back in March 2020, suggested that the Wuhan flu was fake news. He said it was, quote, press-induced panic. Which, look, no matter where you stand on the issue, let's agree that that happened, okay? Because, like, you can talk me either side of the Wuhan virus talk. You could tell me, you know, you could convince me either way. Choose your own reality. But for sure, the mainstream media scared the absolute piss out of everybody. And then, ironically, Dr. Drew got COVID in December 2020. Now, what was curious to me, and this is something I always found interesting, this is kind of fun, a fun little side note about old Dr. Drew. This has nothing to do with the show, by the way. But I promise you, we'll go so deep into the show, you'll be crying for mercy. But he was part of a massive lawsuit back in 2012 when GlaxoSmithKline, who's like, you know, big pharma, they got hit with a $3 billion fine. That's a billion with a B. B as in booty. They got hit with a $3 billion fine for influencing medical experts to promote their drugs that weren't promoted by the FDA or approved by the FDA. And how he got drug into that. The lawsuit showed that back in March and April of 1999, he was paid $275,000 to promote Wellbutrin, which was like an antidepressant, I guess. I don't know. The court reviewed the transcript from a show he did I don't know, it was Love Line, maybe. I mean, the 90s, that was before podcasting. So it must have been Love Line. There was a show where a woman said she had 60 orgasms in a row, nonstop. And he said that, he was like, well, you know, because some antidepressants apparently cause a decline in libido, right? And he was like saying that, well, you know, well, Butchin doesn't have that effect, which I don't know. Apparently wasn't true. I don't know the details of it. But that's what happened, is he supposedly got paid off to make claims that weren't true. But on the episode, they talk about how drugs, they could be used for good or bad. And they talk about mindful meditation, which is a very powerful subject that comes up often in this show, which I argue is a safer path than drugs, than antidepressants. And that's what, you know, mindful meditation is all about, sitting with yourself, observing emotions, observing feelings, becoming aware of what you're going, you're feeling in your body. I listened to this one app and they walk you through it. They say seeing and letting be, seeing and letting go, because you don't have to attach to those feelings. It's about getting into a state of awareness as the observer. Because when you don't do that, you are in the egoic illusion of self, and you cannot separate from the observer if you let the ego take over. And the ego is where the social constructs fill your, it's full of all the social constructs that tell you what to get upset over, okay? We're going to revisit a little bit of meditation. But the episode, the trip, it ends. And Clancy's third eye opens and boom, he departs. Episode 2. He chooses a different avatar in every episode for a different sort of journey. And he reluctantly chooses this character called Braxis, which is an avatar that has like the head of a chicken and the body of a human and the feet of a snake. Now, any occult researcher knows where this is going. This is the Abraxas. And that's kind of all I have to, because the episode's about, he interviews Anne Lamont, and the whole show is about how to accept death. But let's talk about Abraxas for a minute. And I should have a photo of this one I will put on Instagram. Let me just make a little note ski. I'll make that happen for you. But Abraxas, again, a Gnostic concept, the chicken-headed, chicken head. Isn't that a Project Pat song? What chicken head? It's in this case, it's the deity with the snake feet. And the idea you can read about in Manly P. Hall's Secret Teachings of the Ages. In the second part of the book, The Ancient Mysteries and Secret Societies, where Manly P. Hall says that Abraxas symbolically represents the divine powers and the Kabbalistic emanations from God. Now, this God, he argues, is the real God. What do you call it? There's a bunch of terms for it in Gnosticism. The invisible spirit. Not the fake God, the demiurge. The demiurge fake God that rules over our earth, but one that's really up there making things happen. And Abraxas represents this through and the reason why it's got like the body of the human and the head of the rooster and the legs that are the serpents, because it represents different embodiments of the Sephirot on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Different attributes of God, the real God. Manly P. Hall, in his book, he quotes from a writer named C.W. King, which quotes from St. Irenaeus, who in the book calls a Christian bishop and martyr, which was curious because he was the guy. Because you got to understand, back in the, you know, from Christ's ascension to the establishment of an official church, there were different branches of Christianity sort of floating around, different ideas, different theories, different versions of Christianity. And when they decided to really be like, okay, let's come up with one truth and let's stick with it, Irenaeus was the guy who the early church hired to basically shut down the Gnostic movements, because that was a competing idea in the early Christian thoughts. But they dictated that that was a heresy, and they were like, okay, Irenaeus, write up some disinfo here. So he did that. He was trying to shut down the Gnostic movement. But in the book, Manly P. Hall's book here, or the reference in his book, they describe Abraxas as the Gnostic pantheos of the Supreme Being with the five emanations, which is what I just said. It's basically the sort of the Sephiroth on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And the serpents on the leg symbolizes the divined mind of the nous, right? The nous. The logos as well. That's the meaning word, right? These are the power of the inner senses. And the rooster, the cock, is the phronesis, the bird of foresight and vigilance. So that's what the Abraxas is all about. Does it clear anything up? Not really. It's pretty confusing still. But that's what that's all about, and that's the avatar chosen for episode 2. Let's move on to the big dog, episode 3. My goodness, this is a big one. So the guest here is none other than Damien Eccles. Goes by the name Daryl on the show. And he's talking to Duncan Trussell here, his character, about how he got through his time in prison. Because if you're not familiar with who Damien Eccles is, this was one of the three young men convicted for the murder of how many boys did they kill? One? Two? Down in Arkansas, the West Memphis Three, right? And, you know, he is a convicted killer. The way they got out was through an Alford plea, which basically says, look, yeah, I killed the kids, but let me out for time served. Don't ask me the legalities of it. But there was several HBO documentaries focused on pronouncing their innocence. And if you recall back in like 2015, I had a guest, William Ramsey, on my show, who wrote a whole book about the West Memphis Three, going through the documents, the interviews, the transcripts. And he lays out a pretty good argument to suggest that those three did in fact kill the boy or boys. The details of the case elude me at the moment. But I read the book and I thought, I think they killed those kids. And they haven't caught the killer yet, so I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. But either way, he spent many years in prison. Sounds like he didn't have a good time in there, as one would expect. Because if you're a convicted child killer, from what I hear, you are not very well accepted in prison. But he talks to Duncan about how he got through his time in prison with spiritual magic, which he was doing before. And that was part of the reason why they sort of convicted him. So they were talking about how he was like, you know, following these Satanists like Aleister Crowley, and, you know, Arkansas stereotypically doesn't have the most open mind for that kind of stuff. And that's the argument, is like, oh, these guys got convicted because they wore black Metallica shirts. Well, I mean, it went a little deeper, but like, I'm also with the idea that, like, well, just because you're reading Aleister Crowley stuff doesn't make you a child killer. Right? Like, I'm always on the side of making sure someone's 100% guilty before you convict them. I'm not super big on like Law and Order, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the justice system gets it wrong sometimes. The police get it wrong. You know, they put blinders on too, right? They just want to move on to the next case. So always hesitate to ask for too much protection, right? You don't want too much protection because that crazy stuff starts happening, right? Anyhow. So Eccles, or Daryl, I should say, he talks about how he spent his time in prison pursuing enlightenment by reading Aleister Crowley. Now, if you don't know who Aleister Crowley is, I suggest you listen to my other podcast called Breaking Social Norms. I do with Mrs. Weishaupt. We did a two-part episode going through the real basic ideas of who Aleister Crowley is. Was, excuse me. He's dead. He's dead. But he died right after Roswell, by the way. Anyway. But Eccles talks about how he used meditation to get into this magical state. He claims the Bible is magic. Oh, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. He was, let's listen to the first clip. I got several clips for you. He talks about how meditation and magic are used to focus and train the mind.
Just a little explanation before we even start.
Oh, we're starting. Great.
Magic is what I am. The reason that meditation is so important in magic is because whatever we fasten our attention on, that's the direction that our energy is going to flow in. So when you're doing magic, you want to keep your mind as single-pointedly focused on whatever you're trying to accomplish as possible. So that's what meditation does. It trains your mind, you know, so it's not constantly scattered and going into, you know, all different directions and dispersing the energy that you're trying to build up.
Right. I know what you're talking about. I've read some books on magic. I mean, Crowley, wow. But Jesus, he sure comes across as somber sometimes.
Yes, he does.
Lord.
And it takes forever to sort of crack open what he's even saying. You know, you've got to learn so much other stuff before you can even begin to understand what the hell he's actually talking about a lot of times. Because so much of it is written in a kind of code.
Woo! Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of that magical stuff gets put into code. It's like they're trying to protect... Yeah, I've noticed that compared to some magical writings, some of the Eastern traditions seem way more simple.
Well, yeah, the reason for that is because, you know, when you're talking about Eastern traditions, Eastern paths, most of these practices are set up to lead you to this state of what they call enlightenment, what in magic we call crossing the abyss. Eastern traditions are focused on doing that over a period of several lifetimes. Magic is like pouring jet fuel on that process. It aims to accomplish it in one lifetime. So what you're trying to do is cram several lifetimes of spiritual and energetic experiences into one. And that can be a little overwhelming sometimes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And is that Tantra? That reminds me of Tantra. It's Tantra.
Tantra actually plays a huge role in certain aspects or certain traditions of magic, like the OTO, which Crowley was the head of whenever he died.
Now, here's the thing. When they say that meditation and magic are used to, you know, sort of retrain the mind, there's truth in that. There's actually, like, scientific proof of this idea, right? Like, if you hear the term energy flows where attention goes, there's a truth to that. There's this idea of neuroplasticity, that there's neural pathways in the mind, and a trauma can cause instant fusing of a path. Repeated periods of shame or, oppression of some kind can cause a pathway to fuse in the mind. Because, like, our brains, they use this neurotransmitter called glutamate for neurons to communicate with each other, okay? And, like, this is where some of, like, if you've ever read up on ketamine therapy, like, what ketamine does, and they use ketamine in anesthesia, is that it blocks the glutamate so that the brain can't, like, sort of communicate. But the idea with ketamine therapy is, like, you go down to really low doses, and it'll actually ramp up glutamate production. And it causes, like, this hallucinogenic effect, but... what it does is it re-energizes weak glutamate connections in the brain, which happens in traumatized, damaged, or depressed parts of the brain. It's regenerating connections. And that's part of this sort of synaptic plasticity idea. And, you know, the neurons that fire together, wire together, like same idea. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this in his books. But anyway, there's like some truth to that, right? And in that clip you heard, they're talking about Crowley says they were talking in code. Like, they were trying to protect these secrets of magic. Yes, they were. These were handed down through the ancient mystery school teachings, through ideas like Gnosticism, all shoved underground. And the only when Blavatsky and Crowley came around did they decide to pursue the revelation of the method and let everyone know about it. Now, I don't know how that works exactly. Do they have like a little secret society gathering of the sort of United Nations gathering? They say, okay, now's the time. But either way, yes, Crowley did spill the beans, right? Like he was talking in code, but then over time, people started putting those pieces together. And then you got the internet with and the age of sort of communication and information. It makes it pretty easy, right? They talk about the Eastern path set up to achieve enlightenment through reincarnation. Meaning every lifetime, every time you come back, you get a little closer to enlightenment. And when they're talking about, and they even use the term crossing the abyss, which you'll find out when you check out my, I got a whole chapter on Under the Skin in my new book that I'm working on. And I'll try to knock a podcast out for you. That way, in case you don't want to read the book, you can just listen to the podcast. Try to take care of my people here, okay? But magic is all about getting, you know, this Western magic idea is all about cramming in many lifetimes into one to get enlightenment in the first go. He talks about how Tantra and, you know, which is tantric sex, right? It's part of the OTO, which Crowley, you know, was part of the OTO. He created those top three levels, all using the sexy time, little homosexual activity, little masturbation activity, because sex and the orgasm and death are all connected, which we'll hear later in this show, in the series. Yeah, you'll hear it. I'll tell you all about it. Now, here's another interesting idea. Maybe Eccles, he got that Alfred plea deal. Maybe through mental magic, he willed this into reality. He willed his freedom into reality. Maybe those documentaries were the first shot at these occultists trying out mass, sort of manipulation and steering of multiple wills, which is the argument I'm making in Use Your Illusion 2 by going through many films and saying, this is what they've showed us. How much of this is going to come true because we focus our energies on it? That's why people like Johnny Depp were all about, my best friend Dave Navarro over there, who's got the Aleister Crowley Thelema Universal Hexagrams on his elbow, tattooed. Maybe they were all trying to fulfill the magical concept. Maybe. Weirder things have happened, right? Next, here's an interesting idea that I talk about all the time.
I had to learn that stuff from scratch, so yeah. It was like learning an entire different language. Whereas magic deals with Western iconography, symbolism, things that, you know, we've grown up having shoved into our psyche from the second we came into this world. So I think part of us, some really deep internal part, responds to it a lot quicker than it does the Eastern traditions.
Oh, right. I've heard different versions of what you're saying. That's cool.
So they're basically saying magic utilizes symbols that get sort of shoved down our psyche in the Western world through entertainment. And this is what I've been talking about for many years. The symbolism seems harmless, but in some ways it talks to the subconscious. Now, extrapolate that to millions and millions of people focusing their wills, focusing their intent. And you've got a whole different thing going on now. This is the, when we talk about Eliphas Lévi's magnetic chain, charging up the sigils, creating a force on its own. This is where it comes from. And they revealed that truth. A little bit of revelation of the method, right? Right on the old Netflix. Another curious part of the show, they talk about the roots of magic. You know, ceremonial magic. And they know where it comes from. It comes from Mesopotamia. That's right. Land of Moloch. Land of the early mystery schools. And it's very interesting.
What are the roots of magic?
You know, magic, ceremonial magic, what we call high magic, originated in ancient Mesopotamia, somewhere around 3,500 BC. So it is uniquely Western. You know, that's not entirely the West. It's more the Middle East, because it originated in a part of the world that would now be, you know, present-day Iraq, in a city called Nippur. What happened, the way we got it in Europe, was whenever the Knights Templar were sent over there to, you know, escort pilgrims through back and forth from the Holy Land to make sure they're not attacked by bandits, things like that.
Your cats are really talented.
Thank you. The Knights Templar come in contact with this current. And when I say current, what I'm talking about, you know how in certain Buddhist traditions,
yeah,
like say Tibetan Buddhism, they talk about, what's the word they use, empowerments?
Sure.
You know, it's like a current of energy, yes, that is passed along from master to student. Ceremonial magic is the exact same thing. The Knights Templar started receiving this current whenever they were over there. That's how it makes its way back to Europe. Eventually, it makes its way to the United States through the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which was the order that Crowley was a member of before he, you know, went off to the OTO. Mm-hmm. You had MacGregor Mathers, Dion Fortune, the poet W.B. Yeats. All of these people were members of the Golden Dawn. That's how this current makes its way to the U.S. One second.
Now, he talks about high and low magic. We gotta distinguish between the two. Because in magic, you have these terms of like black and white magic. And most people think of like, oh, okay, it's good or bad magic. And if you're a Harry Potter type from the Potterverse, you would see the terms Maleficium and Beneficium. It's the same idea. That's Latin for malice or benefit. They don't look at the duality in a way of saying, well, this is good and this is evil. It just is. Which is exactly what Dr. Drew said in episode 1 about drugs, right? They could be used for good or bad. But low magic, what it does is it uses the natural world and intuition to perform alchemical operations to improve the initiate. They can basically go through the solve and coagula, the dissolving of the ego, break down the ego and rebuild it, rearrange it into a state of perfection, enlightenment. Again, talking about the idea of the Western paths of occultism, of getting it done in one lifetime. And you have to go inside the mind to get there. The low magic is the inner space. This is why Gnostic Carl Jung got into psychology and psychoanalysis. Is that the right term? Psychoanalytics? You know what I'm saying. Then you have high magic. You can remember this with a fun little idea. I call it highfalutin magic. It's the ceremonial ritual magic. And you can think of this like karate versus, you know, with karate and these martial arts, you have to learn these stances that don't really have much relevance in a fight, it seems, right? You're going through all these stances, you're like, when am I going to fight people? You know, not to brag, I've done a couple years of karate in my lifetime, okay? You know, I grew up in the 80s, and it was a good time. Then you've got low magic. That's more of your UFC MMA, right? High magic uses grimoire spell books to summon entities through these more formal and rigid structures like the Golden Dawn or the OTO or Crowley's Silver Star, Argentum Astrum. Whereas high magic has a bit more of like a theater vibe to it, more of the ceremonial aspect of it than over low magic. So anyhow, he's saying that the Knights Templars brought this magic through a current, and a current defined in that clip as the energy passed from master to student, required to make the magic happen. These knights, they brought the magic back to the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. They were indoctrinated in the Middle East, arguably through like the assassins and such, the old men of the mountain. And that's why they got charged with heresy for worshiping the Baphomet, which, you know, that gets us back into that Saul of Coagula thing. That's what the Baphomet represents, the reconciliation of opposites. They were basically spreading the mystery teachings all around, and that's why they got the monies. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. They got the monies because they were transferring the current to folks with the monies. And that's the real scoop, apparently. I mean, allegedly, behind all of it. We got another clip here. This one's very interesting. They talk about oral tradition.
At times, when we're talking about something being an oral tradition, we sort of live under this misunderstanding that that means it's just a bunch of stories told, handed on. That's not what this means. What an oral tradition is, it means the way this current of energy is passed from one person to another is through the voice. You know, our voice is sound waves. We're creating sound waves which carry information. That's why, you know, in the Bible, I always tell people the Bible is the greatest book of magic ever written, once you know how to read it. You know, the whole thing in the very first chapter of the Bible, they're talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's because this is an oral tradition. Does that make sense?
You're blowing my mind.
So that goes all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia. And I forgot
what maybe further back. Is it the words that have the energy, or is it the energy coming out of the person saying the words?
Combination of both. For example, you can only pass the current if you've received the current. Like, you could say the exact same words that a person who's holding the current would say, and if you're not holding the current, it's not going to transmit. You have to be holding the current and have the right words.
Now, the oral tradition is referring to the power of the spoken word, which is what Kabbalah basically means, is oral tradition, handed down. And in the occult, it's the way in which that current of energy that the Knights Templar got is basically passed through the line of succession. It's basically the occult blockchain. And the idea is that it's more than just hearing words and remembering them. It's the idea that, you know, God had the logos, the word, and spoke the world into existence. The voice carries information on sound waves. Which ironically, you know, the Bible says the beginning was the word. It ties us into the Abraxas, the logos. But you can only pass this energy if you have the right current and the right words, the right, you know, spell. And this is the power of the grimoire, the spells, or the rap songs, as I talked about in Sacrifice Magic behind the mic. Magic can be used for calling energy and intelligences in to absorb into your energy system, your aura. And this is, again, what they use with the ceremonial magic, the high magic. And, you know, this oral tradition, it passes down through the lodge, through the order, whatever you want to call it, the secret society, from the master to the student. You need that line of succession in order to unlock the energy. That's the argument. And they talk about how we should be focusing energy on what you want, not on the things you don't like. Because if you charge up these negative thoughts, you're giving energy to it. Curiously, he talks about how Beethoven said that man's mission is to get as close to the divine as he can, so he can come back and share that with the world, which is a very Joseph Campbell hero's journey type thing. That's what you saw your boy Luke Skywalker do in Star Wars. Finally, in conclusion to part one, there is a very curious statement made at the end. You gotta hear it to believe it.
Behold the death of the old eon and the birth of the new.
Yes, on this show on Netflix, heard by millions of listeners, Damien Echols, he evolves into this new entity and proclaims, behold the death of the old Aeon and the birth of the new, fulfilling Aleister Crowley's fantasies of bringing about the Aeon of Horus, the new age, the time of, for the crowned and conquering child, the age of magic, the age of Aquarius. It's all here. It's all connected. And in a mass ritual way, Damien Echols pronounced it on this show. Heard by millions. My goodness. The proclamation was made. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to subscribe to the show because you're going to come back for part two that I'll knock out here in the next week. We're going to go through the remaining episodes of the series where we'll hear more about forgiveness. We're going to talk a lot about the magic stuff. We're going to get real deep into like Buddhism talk, the idea of the self. We're going to talk, I mean, we might cry a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I cried. I'll tell you why. Because there's some very sad, touching, in a touching way, a very sad and touching moment on the show. We'll talk about Sam Tripoli. Oh, this isn't truth or drama, but we're going to talk about Sam Tripoli. And when he had Duncan Trussell on his show. There's a lot more to get into, and we'll get into it in part two. Let me talk to you about that VIP section. If you want to join, you got to do it now. Now's the time. The door's closing. Promo code HOTGIRLSUMMER. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the VIP tab. You can read all about it. See what you think. If you're done with these commercials, if you want all the bonus stuff that all the people on Patreon and Rockfin get, you can now get it on VIP. And check it out if you want to support the show. Regardless of what you do, I still love you for coming around and listening to these ideas with an open mind. So until next time, my friend, you know what you got to do. You got to stay woke.